Okay, we're ready, Mr. Chair.
Good morning, Ben. It's about 9 o'clock here, and let's start the meeting for March 31st. If we could, Sharon, would you please call roll?
I will. Amelon? Bynum?
Here.
Sievertson?
Present.
Skillings? Lynn?
Here.
Benson?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Hagerman? Prysenka?
Here.
Von Bargen?
Here.
Other than staff, board members, and council, is there anyone else on the phone that would like to introduce themselves, please? No response, Mr. Chair?
Okay. Thank you, Sharon. Let's move on then to communications, lay on the table items. Are there any items that the board wants to bring forward at this time to put on the table?
Mr. Chair, this is Trey. I just wanted to note that we did post a notice on our website noticing that the call-in number had been changed.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Trey. Thank you. If nothing there, is there any disclosure of conflicts of interest that need to be laid out? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion then to approve the agenda?
This is Bob Sievertson in Ketchikan. I would move that we approve the agenda as presented.
Is there a second? Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve the agenda. Sharon, would you like to call roll on that, please?
I will. Amelon? Bynum? Bynum in place of Mr. Amelon? Do you accept the agenda as presented?
Yes.
Thank you. Sievertson?
Yeah.
Larson?
Yeah.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysenka?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody at this time on the line who would like to be heard at this meeting? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on. The next item is the review and approval of the minutes. First, let's go with the December 12th, 2019 minutes of the regular board meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Move to approve minutes from December 12th, team for Sanke and Rangel.
Second,
Bob and Kathy here.
Okay. Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of December 12th. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, would you call roll, please, Sharon?
I will. Prysenka?
Yes.
Bynum?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yeah.
Larson?
Yeah.
Lynn?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Moving on, now we have the minutes from the February 21st, 22nd, 2020 minutes of a special board meeting. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
This is Bob in Ketchikan. I move that we approve the minutes as presented.
Okay. And who just seconded that, please?
Yeah, I did. Well, Robert.
Okay. Thank you. And we have a motion and a second. Sharon, would you call roll on the February 21st, 22nd, 2020 minutes of the special board meeting, please?
I will. Lynn?
Yes.
Prysenka?
Yes.
Bynum?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yeah.
Larson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. The last 7 minutes we have is the March 10th, 2020 minutes of the special board meeting. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Move to approve the minutes from March 10th, 2020 for Sanke and Rangel.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second. Jeremy and Ketchikan.
Okay. Okay, there's a motion and a second to approve the minutes of the March 10th, 2020 meeting, special board meeting. Sharon, call roll, please.
Was there any discussion, Mr. Chair, on the minutes?
That's a good point. Hearing none, please call roll.
Thank you. Larson?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Krysunka?
Yes.
Bynum?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, we've moved on now. We'll go to the financial reports. Rather than to talk in detail about each one of these items, could we approach this from the standpoint of making a summary? Because I'm going to assume everybody read parts of this. Trey, would you like to kind of summarize those parts, if you would, and or Kay?
Sure. Trey.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Should we get the motion on the table first? It's on page 17 for the financial statements.
Mr. Chairman,
I see it. Yes. Yes, Bob. Go ahead.
This is Bob in Ketchikan. I'd move to accept the year-to-date financial statements for December 2019 and disbursements for December 2019, January, and February 2020, totaling $1,917,430.97 as presented.
Okay. Is there a second?
For something, Rangel, second.
Thank you. Okay. Trey, would you like to give us a summary of?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just as I outlined in my cover letter for the finances, we wrapped up our six-month budget, which was kind of an anomaly, I think, as far as business goes. And so we'll be on a going forward basis. You know, things should be a little bit more standardized, if you will, for our reporting and such. The good news is that we had a pretty robust end of the year, and our revenue came in $730,543 above what we had anticipated budget-wise. So that's good. And our administrative and operating costs was also under. So that's all good. The renewal and replacement projects were under. So revenues came in robust and expenses were down, and so I think that, you know, and a lot of that was due to, you know, some of our priorities got shifted when the submarine cable issue came up, and of course this budget was created prior to that. So that's the nut of where we're at year end. I'll just say, so we've closed out those books, if you will, through the end of the year. That's what you have in your financials for your packet there. So I think that's it's a good place to start the year. It'll be a little different because we'll have, our fiscal year is going to be different. So we're going to have we should have fairly robust revenues at the beginning of the calendar year. And during the second and third quarter, that will be where most of our robust spending occurs. And then we hopefully will have robust revenues that come in at the end of the year. So just going to be a little bit different from a management perspective going forward. I will note that we have created some special accounts to help track COVID-19 related, like quarantine, labor, and such. I think some of the Fed stuff that's coming out right now is still, I'll say it's still a little loosey-goosey, and we're trying to figure out how all that will apply to some of our folks and that had quarantine after traveling. All that kind of occurred when we had, I think, like four people that were out of state. So. Anyway, so we'll track those dollars and see if we can get some reimbursement for portions of that, hopefully. I think some of that will occur on a going forward basis, possibly after April 1st. So that's how that's going to roll. Yeah, we've got our typical stuff in here, our graphs, and you can see, I guess I'll point to page 18 and 19, and if you go to the bottom of page 19 in your package, you'll see, you know, all power sales kind of gives you a snapshot of how we're starting off at the beginning of the new fiscal year, which is based on the calendar year. And so far looking pretty good, and hopefully that will continue. Moving along today.
Go ahead. I'll just bounce through there, and if anybody has any questions, I'll pause periodically just if you have some. You know, on page 21, you know, I think our fund allocation graph is pretty straightforward and kind of gives you a snapshot of where we're currently at there. We did make the 25% payment into the R&R fund prior to the end of the quarter. So I just wanted to highlight that. And hopefully we're able to keep doing that. Nothing new really on the grant front. We just have still have an open balance of like $388,251, and we're still, you know, proceeding with the hydrocyte evaluation stuff. So that should be enough to finish that process, and I'll have updates for the board later in the year on that. Any questions?
This is Jeremy here. I have a question for Trey, Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Jeremy.
Trey, do we have, I saw that you mentioned that we have an anticipation of pushing some of these R&R projects to later in the year just because of the dynamic situation that we're in. Do you have an anticipation that we may end up deferring some of those projects to next year, and or do you anticipate seeing that we will be under-executing our budget in 2020?
From the R&R perspective, I would say yes. Some of that stuff has been deferred from on the current approved budget, and as I reported to the board earlier, we actually deferred some potential projects just in light of our budget situation. Prior to the last budget development there in December or so. But yeah, I think some of the stuff's going to get pushed out. We're having some challenges. You know, our contractors can't travel. Some supply chain challenges as well. And I fully expect that will impact some work. I mean, it's kind of, I anticipate that, you know, nobody really knows at this time.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair, question please, Stephen Rangel.
Yes. Steve, go ahead.
Trey, would we not fall under critical workers so that if you need your contractors to travel, can you not still get them to come forward to the critical access idea?
So that's a great question, Steve, and we talked about that a bit internally. You know, if it was, let's just say we had a line down on our transmission system, heck yeah, I would mobilize our transmission line contractor and get them on site to expedite repairs. For, let's say, less non-critical stuff, I think that I'd have a hard time making that argument and certainly wouldn't want to put people at unnecessary risk. And, you know, and also recognizing some of our anticipated work that we had, such as lid destroyed and such, and the partial discharge testing, some of those contractors are actually out of country. So there's no way those guys are going to make it. And, you know, some of the parts associated with that stuff as well may not make it on time either.
Yeah, thank you, Trey. Appreciate that.
Sure.
Are there any other questions? Hearing none, we have a motion on the table. Can we, Sharon, would you please call the roll?
I will. Siebertson?
Yeah.
Larson? Robert Larson?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Kaysanka?
Yes.
Bynum?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to item six, old business. First item under there is consideration of approval of the CEO contract, and I believe there is a motion on page 32 to be made.
Mr. Chairman. Bob and Ketch, yes. Hence move to authorize the board chair to execute the proposed contract between the and the CEO that is consistent with the prior discussions and negotiations.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Stephen Rangel, second.
Thank you. There's a motion and second. Excuse me. Discussion? Okay. Hearing none, would you please call roll, Sharon?
I will. Bynum?
Yes.
Siebertson?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Kaysanka?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The March, the second item under there is March 2020. Operations plan update, and with that, I don't think there's a motion on it. Trey, would you like to give us an update on the operations plan, or Robert?
So, Mr. Chair, this is Trey. I'd like to defer that to Robert. He's got wrote a nice little summary here, and I guess I'll just preface it with, you know, we're trying to keep the board in the loop on where we're at with the current operations plan and how things are looking to date, and also we'll be kind of rolling up on some, I'll say, some thresholds that have been set previously, and I'll defer to Robert to talk about some of that stuff.
Okay, thank you. Robert?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So the 2020 operations plan update is just a couple pages here. I tried to keep it short, but I wanted to pull out some of the significant benefits that we have seen from the efforts that we put forth to develop this plan. And this has been a multifaceted effort between all three municipalities and CEPA. One of the key benefits that we have seen is there on page 33, and that is the efficiency gains that we have seen as a function of our change in operations at Swan Lake. Looking at, there's a chart there in section 1.0, we can see that on average in 2017 and 2018, we were operating the generators at 85 and 87 percent efficiency, and as we moved into 2019 and more so as we executed the new operations plan, we're closer to 90 to 91% efficiency. So on average, that's been a 5% gain in efficiency. What that does for us is taking the amount of megawatt hours that Swan Lake produced and multiplying that by the efficiency gain, we can see the 5% efficiency increase. We can see that we have already within six to seven months, we have already saved ourselves 2,653 megawatt hours. So that's a big gain there, and I think that's important, especially as we go through these years of possible fluctuation in inflows. To utilize that gain to be possibly at a future date. So that's a good benefit that we've seen from the change in the operation plan. And then as we continue on second page, talk about current lake levels, looking at the Tai Lake failed and guide curve. And this, of course, was written, this report was written about a week ago, so it's not reflective of where we are today. but it's very close. You can see that the actual 2020 draft rate for Tyee is the blue line, and it has followed very closely to the sales curve. And what we anticipate and what we are attempting to operate at is that we maintain a buffer at the top end of those of the operations band, which is what we're calling the area between the green line, which is the sales curve, and the guide curtailment curve. So once we get closer to what we call the turn, or when the snow begins to melt and the lake begins to fill, we anticipate drafting Tyee Lake lower and closer to the curtailment curve to allow for available capacity to hold all the water that's in snow as it sits on the hill today. Reflective of Tyee Lake operations is the model's output for Swan Lake and the resultant operation of Swan Lake. You see that the red line is what the model anticipated Swan Lake would be, draft rates would be, and the blue line is the actual. And that, again, as well, is fairly close to what we had predicted. Going forward, I would like to discuss here going forward in our operations plan. There was a lot of discussion that occurred on whether or not diesel, supplemental diesel, could be used and how it could be used. And so that was placed into the 2020 operations plan. As we approach for Swan Lake, as we approach the turn, as I mentioned, and as we draft closer to the 280-foot draft limit that is in place today in the 2020 operations plan, at elevation 286, there is a statement in the operations plan that allows for diesel, supplemental diesel and Ketchikan to be used to slow down the draft rate. One thing I want to note on that is it's not a requirement of the operations plan. It is an allowance of the risk that might be associated as we approach the 280 level. So it doesn't have to be performed. But as we get closer to the 280 level, you see we're within 2 weeks, I would say, of the turn at Swan, and 3 to 4 weeks of the turn at Tyee. And Tyee is extremely healthy, especially since we had the contingency of adding 20 more feet to the draft limit from previous years, being so that even if we reach the curtailment curve, we would be 30 feet in total above the draft limit. So as we approach Swan Lake's draft limit, the operation plan also discusses that the municipalities will enter into conversation about whether or not we lower draft rates to mitigate diesel. And I think at this time, with everything else going on, it would be prudent to have that discussion to mitigate as much diesel burn as we can. Like I mentioned in the report, the lakes look very healthy, but we are very close to the turn. So it really is going to be dependent on load. And unanticipated again for this week, we have about a 12-degree day difference from last week, and it looks like a 10-day period of dry and colder weather, which increases SEPA loads by about 4.5% to 5%. So we're close, but as we go through these next 2 weeks, we may have to enter into discussions on how we get through this turn with the minimum amount of diesel.
Or none would be our preference.
Preference is none. I think that's preference for all rates compared to this form here.
Mr. Chairman, Stephen.
Yes. Go ahead.
Stephen Randall. Larson and Petersburg again.
Let's go with Steve first, Robert, and then we'll follow up.
I didn't hear him.
Okay. Steve, are you there? You had questions?
I am.
I apologize. I got bumped off there earlier, and if I missed this. Robert, we're looking like our snow load is doing well, and we're going to be able to, once the turn happens here, the fill rate, you're confident we'll keep continuing with our guide trip. And you may have said that, I apologize. I got bumped off for a while.
So, Steve, I fully anticipate with the amount of snow that's on the hill that once we make the turn at Tyee, we're going to blast through the green line and head probably closer to the dotted line. That being because, as we recall from the 2020 operations plan, the green and red lines in these are based on 2018 inflows. Right. And as I've mentioned in the past, it's really easy to predict what the inflows are going to be this time of year because there are none. But as we make the turn, those inflows with the amount of snow on the mountain, and in addition to any rain on the horizon, those inflows I fully anticipate will be greater than 2018, and that will cause us to fill the lakes a lot faster and a lot fuller than what the green line or red line is showing. Again, those green and red lines are highly conservative operation lines to mitigate any drought conditions we've had in the past.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Robert, you had a question.
Well, I just wanted a clarification, and that is that the red line that's showing for Swan Lake, that's based on the drought of 2018 data?
So, there's two parts of it.
I was looking at October, you know, this October. So where it shows 280 feet.
That is correct. So this is all based on 2018 inflows.
Okay.
The blue and green line from Tyee is based on the inflows and the loads in addition to what we put in the operations plan for the amount of sales across the STI. And then reflective, because of the amount of sales we put across the STI, the Swan Lake levels model illustrates the inflows from 2018 and then the loads from Ketchikan plus or minus the amount that the Ketchikan receives from the STI. So you can see the models are very, very close and accurate, but as we get closer to this turn, obviously, you know, it only takes a week or two of a difference where we may dip below the Swan Lake curve. And we may be close to requiring diesel. But as I mentioned,
here.
Go
ahead, Robert.
Just follow up then about do we have a long range forecast for what we could expect for this summer or fall?
As it sits right now, they're calling for below average precipitation and above average temperatures, but I want to illustrate that below average precipitation is not drought conditions. That would be, as mentioned in the operations plan, we have fully anticipated that the average is not going to be 150 or 160 inches of rain in Ketchikan for a foreseeable future. It is more around 135, or lower, but it's not the 100 inches of drought condition. So below average precipitation is not something to be concerned with. It's the drought conditions that we are concerned with, because on average precipitation years, we spill a lot. And so what we have done is to increase efficiencies, operate in such a manner that we could make it through lulls and not spill during peaks of inflows.
Got it. Thank you.
Hey, Bob, I believe you had a question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So in regards to what we're seeing here as inflows and drafts and usage, we got to understand that the dynamics of the economy have changed in Southeast Alaska pretty dramatically. It's looking like here in Ketchikan, the cruise industry won't be here anytime before July 1st, and that may be extended out. And, of course, we don't know what the forecast for fishing season is going to bring us due to the foreign markets. So taking that all into consideration, but I want to make sure that we're clear that when we reach our start their boats at 286 level and we start, people start talking to Ketchikan about the potential for supplemental vehicle runs, that is all on Ketchikan's nickel, is that correct?
That's correct.
And so then the city of Ketchikan would then have the option whether to run or not, but that would have to be worked out in regard to where we're going with the guide curve. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Hey, Chair, Jeremy here. I have a question, comment.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
So, obviously, given our current situation with the pandemic and the restrictions and everything going on with our communities and the state, shelter in place, I would say that it would be my opinion that we should do everything that we can to prevent any kind of a diesel burn in the next few months anyway. Now, my comment would be, I guess, question would be to Robert, is do you foresee and forecast that here in the next 2 months or so that we look like we're going to be just fine with the kind of amount of water that we have and that a diesel run of any kind would be unnecessary? I believe that's what I heard you saying, but I just want to clarify. Thank you.
Yeah, so as far as water levels, we have a lot of potential energy on the hill, and that is in the form of snow. And as mentioned in this update, if that potential energy came off the hill, Tidy Lake would nearly be full. And that provides about nine months of operations from Tidy without any rain. And that is not, that's Armageddon-type non-rain. That's not even 2018. So I anticipate that we are looking very healthy, and that's why I mentioned that. However, as we get closer to this turn, the diesel requirement in Ketchikan may or may not be triggered based on the operations plan and the draft limits that are in place. So we also need to consider that the draft limit at Tyee, we had talked about maintaining that 20-foot buffer, but as we approached the turn and we understood fully what the potential energy was on the hill, that being snowpack, and what the forecast is looking like, that we may, on either at Swan or at Tyee, we may enter discussions on lowering that draft limit to mitigate risk to all three communities.
Okay, other questions? Hearing none, I guess I got one for you, Robert. What? We'd have to come back to another meeting to change those draft limits on either one of the reservoirs. Are you anticipating, I'm sure you're watching this daily, what is your thinking? Do you have an alternative plan in mind?
I think my alternative plan would be, if we do approach the 280 level, would be to drop Swan Lake draft limits by a couple feet, 2 to 3 feet maybe, and Tyee possibly by 10 feet. And that being with Tyee dropped by 10 feet instead of 30 feet of contingency, you'd have 20 feet of contingency, and we'd be right there at the turn, so there would be no risk or little to no risk. And that would also buy us 1,200 to 1,500 megawatt hours at Swan Lake. So I think that would... that would probably be my recommendation as we approach the draft limits and the turn.
Thank you. A follow-up question to that then is, would that then, in your mind, keep Ketchikan off of diesel for the foreseeable future then?
I would say the answer to that is yes. There's no guarantee, but I feel confident that we, as we sit today, we may even make the turn if we have any kind of inflows on the horizon at Swan. But with that added contingency of 13 feet, that that adds about 4,000 megawatt hours, and that's about 2 weeks of operations at Swan Lake.